Most people understand that time has value. Maybe that's why we often use the expression spending time. Hi, I'm Rob West. What a lot of folks don't realize is just how valuable time really is. Because if they did, it just might change the way they spend money. Today, I'll help you figure out what your time is worth so you can use it more productively for yourself, your family, and God's kingdom. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, before we dive in, I want to mention a great book on making the most of your assets. It's titled Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain by Ken Boa and Russ Crossan. It's a blueprint for putting the Bible's financial principles into practice for God's kingdom. In other words, taking something that's temporary and making it eternal. In fact, we think everyone should have this book, so we're making it available for a gift of any amount to FaithFi until December 31st. Just go to faithfi.com, that's faithfi.com, click the Give tab, and we'll get a copy of Leverage right out to you. Now then, to start, I think it's important to point out that God values our time. Like all the other resources He provides, He's given each of us only a certain amount of it. He wants us to be faithful stewards of the days and hours we have. Psalm 90, verse 12 reads, "Teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." And James 4:14 admonishes us to make the best use of our time today. It reads, "You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes." And of course, since most of us have to work to provide for ourselves and our families, it's important to understand what our time on the job is really worth so we can be faithful stewards of it. To figure what you really earn per hour, take the total or gross amount you put down on your last tax return. Jot that down. Then subtract anything you paid in taxes, including Social Security and Medicare taxes, plus the income tax you paid. You're left with your net earnings. Here's an example. Let's say you earned a total of $52,000 and you paid $10,000 in Social Security, Medicare, and income taxes, leaving you with $42,000. Next, you divide that $42,000 by 52 weeks and you get roughly $800. That's what you're netting in a week. Now, assuming you work a 40-hour week, divide 800 by that number. 40, and you get $20 an hour. That's your real hourly wage. Of course, if you typically work more than 40 hours a week, it means you're earning even less than $20 an hour after taxes. Now, all this might seem a little disheartening, especially if you've always thought you earn more like $25 an hour, which of course you do, but that's before taxes. That's why it's important to understand what your time is worth in real dollars, dollars that you can actually spend, because then you begin to see how long you have to work to buy something. Let's say one night you're tired and you don't feel like cooking, so you pick up fast food for the family, and that costs you $50, which is pretty easy to do, by the way. When you realize that you had to work 2.5 hours to pay for that meal, you're much more inclined to spend 1 hour making dinner at home and cleaning up after. When you know what things really cost, it really can change your spending habits. You'll be far less likely to give in to impulse spending. If you look at your last several months of checking account statements, you'll probably see a purchase here for $10, another one there for $20, maybe one for $50, and so on. Did they really add value to your life? Especially knowing how long you had to work for them. Probably not, because you realize that you can never get those hours back. So you probably want to make some changes. Just cutting out impulse spending is a huge step forward. As your time becomes more important to you, you'll free up money that you can spend in areas that have more value. And one of those, hopefully, will be increased giving of both your time and money to the kingdom, which has eternal value. And remember, if you want to read more about making kingdom impact, a gift of any amount to faithfi.com until December 31st will get you a copy of the book we referenced, Leverage, Using Temporal Wealth for Eternal Gain by Dr. Ken Boa and Russ Crossan. And by the way, we thank you in advance. All right, it's time to take your phone calls just after this break. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Long ago, the angels announced the birth of Christ, singing peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And yet today, the world continues to grapple with evils like terrorism and countless types of injustice, which is why we need to hang on to the promises of God's Word all the more tightly. The same prophet Isaiah who prophesied the birth of Christ had this to say about the days yet to come. Speaking of the Messiah, he wrote, "He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." May I invite you to rest on God's promises daily? Visit getanchor.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
That's one thing we can say we have in common. We all have storms. But here's the wonderful news. The powerful one who rebuked the wind in the day of the disciples is the same powerful one who is with us in the midst of our storms. Hallelujah.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, The Jesus You May Not Know, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Well, it's great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is a big day for us. It's the final day of our dollar-for-dollar match. That's right. A generous donor stepped up and said, "I want to help support the work of Faith Fi because it's listener-supported as a not-for-profit ministry. I'm going to put up $50,000. We'll match every dollar until Friday, December 15th. Well, that's today. So it's the last day of the match. Chad Clark, Executive Director here at Faith Fi, will stop by a little later in the broadcast to give us an update. Where do we stand? But if you want to give, get in on this match and support our work here at Faith and Finance, we'd certainly be grateful. Just head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Click the Give button or go to faithfi.com/impact, and you can read about our impact report for 2023, where we're headed next year, and the progress we've made toward this $50,000 match, which is going to be a big help toward getting us to our year-end fundraising goal of $250,000.
$1,000. A gift of any amount will help us get there, and we'll tell you where we stand a little later in the broadcast. In the meantime, we want to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call with lines open and our team standing by is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now with any financial question. Also, a little later in the broadcast, Jerry Boyer will stop by. Jerry will update us on the markets. The Dow Jones headed for its seventh positive week in a row. It actually crossed this week an all-time high, but it's down slightly today, although we've had incredible strength in the markets, largely driven by some news that perhaps inflation is continuing to come down, and at least based on the Fed's numbers that they're watching, they're forecasting that it gets down into the twos, not quite to two, but into the twos next year, which is why, even though they held rates steady this week, Federal Reserve Chairman Powell said they're expecting, and really interesting that he's already putting this out there. This is not typical, but that he's expecting three rate cuts next year. Very interesting. We'll get Jerry to weigh in on all of that a little later in the broadcast. All right, let's take your calls and questions today. Again, lines are open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you and tackle whatever you're thinking about today. So let's head to Michigan. Steve, thanks for calling, sir. How can I help?
Hi. Good morning, Rob. I've got a question about Social Security and Medicare. I'm wondering if I decline to take Medicare, will that negatively affect my Social Security when I go to take it? Will they reduce that? I've heard that's the case.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you decide to begin drawing Social Security benefits, or when you do, then, you know, you will have to have at least Medicare Part A. You can terminate Part B if you have what they consider to be, you know, credible coverage, which is coverage typically would be employer-sponsored coverage that's at least as good as the new Medicare drug benefit. But you would have to keep Part A. And if you didn't, not only would that you know, prevent you from getting Social Security benefits, you could be in a situation where you actually have to pay back any benefits that you receive. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, I guess it does. Doesn't seem right, but it makes sense.
I totally understand, and it's not for the faint of heart. It gets pretty complicated, but yeah, you've got to have Part A if you're going to be collecting Social Security. Steve, thanks for your call. We appreciate you being on the program. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. Let's go to Virginia. Hi, Ashley. How can I help you?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question hopefully will be quick and simple. My husband and I have five sons. Four of them are adult age, 18 through 27, but God sent us a surprise blessing, and so we also have an 8-year-old.
Wow, amazing.
And we haven't redone. Yeah, it's awesome. We haven't redone our, you know, life insurance. That's irresponsible, but here we are. Our life insurance, our will, all that. And, you know, the older boys are pretty simple, but I'm not sure what to do about the little one and how to, you know, as far as beneficiaries on the insurance policy and all that, just kind of the best way to go about handling all that.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, anytime you have a life circumstance that changes, we do need to update those things, both your will and one of the keys there. And you may have already named this person, but you'll name a guardian should something happen to both of you while he's still a minor. So that's key. But then also just making sure that your wishes are reflected with regard to how your estate would be distributed, including your fifth son, and then beneficiary designations need to be updated to the extent you have your children listed as contingent beneficiaries. Typically, you'd have your husband listed as the primary, and vice versa on any accounts that he has. But then if you do name contingent beneficiaries and list your heirs, then, you know, in order to have that passed directly and outside of probate, then obviously you'd want to update that as well to include your fifth son. So I think the key is to probably revisit this with the attorney that drew up the will. Do you have an estate attorney that you've worked with in the past?
No, we just did kind of an online thing on our own. And
okay.
My biggest concern, I guess, we trust our kids, of course. And so just trying to navigate, you know, how the custodian thing works with the young. I mean, this is obviously only provided something happens to both of us at the same time.
Yes.
You know, do we make one of our sons a custodian? I guess we'd have to discuss it with them and kind of figure out what, you know, what would work best for our family as far as who that individual would be. But it would be, I guess, one person would be kind of the custodian of the younger one. And then his portion of the inheritance would then go maybe into a trust or something along those lines. Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah. So you would name in your will an executor. And that person has the responsibilities, of, you know, respecting your wishes and handling, you know, the distribution of your estate, including, you know, heirlooms and, you know, all of your assets and so forth. So yeah, you will name typically one person to be that, unless it's a company, a corporate, executor, but typically it would be like a close friend or a relative. So it could be one of your older sons, and that doesn't mean that he would have access to any of the money in a different way. It just means that he would be the one charged with, you know, carrying that out. So you'd want obviously somebody who's responsible, somebody who's detail oriented, and, you know, he would then, you know, be the one to handle that. So you would name that person in the will, and then obviously in the will as well, you would, you know, also have the distribution in terms of how it's shared, whether that's equally or not. You know, and doesn't mean that you have to share it equally. You know, one of the principles Ron Blue shares in his book Splitting Heirs is that if you love your children equally, you will treat them uniquely. And his idea there is that you don't have to do that. Of course, you could decide to divide it equally. But as you evaluate your kids and their needs and their stage of life and maturity, you may decide that one has a greater need than another. You know, Ron said at the time when he wrote the book, you know, I had a daughter who was a single mom and divorced and, you know, working as a teacher, and she had a greater need than a son who was married and an attorney. And so they made a decision to handle their estate distribution accordingly. So I think you just need to work through those decisions, but all of that would happen in your will. Let me encourage you to connect with a godly estate planning attorney, because they can make sure that it's written correctly and for your state, in order to be able to do that. And then, you know, that it's all done properly. Thanks for your call. God bless you.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, we saw this. And that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
In Psalm 122, David urges us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. All of Israel needs our prayers now. As Hamas attacks day after day, would you and your family join with your AFA family to pray for all those who have lost loved ones and who still face incredible danger at the hands of terrorists who hate God and His people? Tim Wildman has a personal message for you with suggestions on how you can pray and stay informed. Please take time to read it today at afa.net.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's head back to the phones. To Texas we go. Hi, Harold. Go ahead, sir.
Well, good morning. Thank you for taking our call. I have a question. I'm over 80 years old, retired, and I have a small annuity, less than $50,000, and it's losing money bad. And I'm thinking about taking it out and doing something else with it, but I'm not sure where to put it.
Yes, sir.
We live comfortably. The wife and I are, you know, have a modest home, and we have everything we need. I just hate to see all that money going out the door and not spend anything for it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you've got a couple of options. I mean, obviously, if this is a qualified annuity, you could roll it out to an IRA, and then at that point, you could put it into gold, or you could put it into a CD, or you could invest it in stocks and bonds. You could roll it into a new annuity. And, you know, it could be one that better matches your goals and objectives. I mean, I love the fact that you're living modestly, you're debt free. You're saying, listen, I've got all that I need. And yet we want to be good stewards of this particular asset because you may have a need for it down the road, maybe for long-term care. Maybe you want to be able to leave it as a gift to ministry or to heirs. So we want to care for it. And if it's not performing the way you would expect, I think asking this question is certainly pertinent. Would you be more comfortable, Harold, with a guaranteed product? So, for instance, you could roll it into a guaranteed fixed annuity where there's a stated guaranteed rate of return that you would enjoy, and then you don't have to worry about the ups and the downs. You could also, again, to my other point, you could roll it out to another IRA if it's a qualified annuity, or just cash it out if it's not, and then redeploy it in something that, you know, is more guaranteed, like CDs, or you could invest it. Which feels like the better fit for you?
Well, that's the problem. I'm not real sure. The wife had suggested that we take it and just pay it on the principal of our home, which would take us down to half of what we own the home. And I'm not sure that I want to do that because that's taking cash that I could use in an emergency later down the road.
Yeah. But that's exactly right. Do you have other liquid assets besides this annuity?
Just my retirement. That's all. The wife's retirement from her job and mine, and of course, Social Security.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. And so you don't have a savings account with an emergency fund?
I do have a savings account. It does not have all that much money in it.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I would agree with you in the sense that unless you just had a real conviction to be debt-free, including your home as soon as possible, I like the idea of you hanging on to this money. It'd be one thing if you could pay off the mortgage and then start recapturing that mortgage payment every month and putting that into savings. But obviously, with you just being able to cut it in half, it's 50% lower, and that's great. But you're out the cash, and you still have the mortgage, the same mortgage payment you had before. So I would probably look at, you know, either rolling it out, putting it in a CD or a high yield savings account, or, you know, considering, you know, putting it in a bond type investment. It feels to me, Harold, like you could really benefit from some comprehensive financial planning with an advisor who could just help you and your wife look over your whole situation, help you analyze this annuity, make some recommendations on where to go from here to shore it up so it's performing the way that you want it to, and make sure you have the proper liquid reserves to fall back on in the event of the unexpected. Would you all be open to connecting with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Texas?
Yeah, I'd love to talk with someone that could give me some guidance.
Yeah, I think that would probably make some sense. Well, are you comfortable using the internet, Harold?
Yes.
Okay, so I would just head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faith. FI.com. Right there at the top of the page, it'll say find a CKA. That stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. These are men and women who've met extensive experience requirements along with character and statement of faith, and they've been trained to bring biblically wise financial advice. They also have had a pastor and client references. So, you know, I'd interview a couple, two or three, find someone who could just do some straight financial planning for you, meet with you and your wife, give you some guidance, look over your situation, make sure things like long-term care is thought about, you know, protecting the assets that you have and growing them, your cash flow and liquidity needs around emergency funds, and just help you and your wife come up with a plan that you can both feel good about, have some peace of mind, and know that, you know, you're making the right decisions and plans moving forward on top of the great decisions you've already made, you know, around living within your means and living modestly. So I think that would be a great next step. And then as a part of that, you can decide what to do with this annuity. Okay.
Very good. Thank you very much. I appreciate
All right.
your input.
Yes, sir. You're welcome. Let's go to Louisiana. Hi, John. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. My concern is the Social Security. I'm retired, my wife as well. And I was wondering, how would she be authorized to get her get some of my retirement versus hers, because I made more money than she did. Mine's a little bit more than hers, and we're trying to see if we can figure out how to get her the right thing, although, you know, we don't know if that's something that she can do or not. Since she had a retirement also, she also had Social Security, but hers is a little less than mine. We're trying to figure out how to get her.
Yeah, so the key here is that she can draw either spousal benefits based on your work record, and the most she'd be able to get through her spousal benefits, whether she worked or not, is 50% of yours. The key is she has to be at least 62, and you have to be receiving your Social Security benefits, and then she could get spousal benefits. Now, if she takes it before full retirement age, it's going to, you know, 50% of yours is the max she can get once she reaches full retirement age. If for instance, she were to get it at 62, you know, she's going to get, you know, less than that. It could be, you know, some 25 to 30% of yours. Or she can take benefits based on her own work record. She can't take both. She can take the higher of the two. So what you're going to want to look at, and you can connect with the Social Security Administration or go online at SSA.gov and look at your record and your statement. She's going to want to determine, is it better to take her benefit or her spousal benefit, 50% of yours? And she could take the spousal benefit and let hers grow and then take that later. We'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing and the Faith and Finance program.
For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Coming up in the next segment of the broadcast, Jerry Boyer joins us. We'll also update you in this segment on how we're doing toward our dollar-for-dollar match, which expires today here at FaithFi. And we're taking your calls, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. You can call right now. Again, 800-525-7000. All right, let's go to Mississippi. Hi, Jim. How can I serve you?
Yeah, my wife is 43 years old. She's from the Philippines. She's been here 8 years. She's got her citizenship. I'm 70. I don't have anything put back, which is fine with me. But I want to get something, retirement going for my wife.
Yes, sir. Do you either of you have a company-sponsored retirement plan available at work?
No, my wife is self-employed. She's got a small business.
All right. And what about you? Are you still working?
Yeah, I'm working with her.
Oh, with her. Okay. So what she would probably want to do is set up what's called a SEP, S-E-P, SEP IRA, and that would allow her to put in pretty much as she wants. I mean, you can put in up to $66,000 for 2023, or 25% of compensation, whichever is less. So you would calculate 25% of her comp or $66,000, and then she could contribute to that. You know, you would be able to do the same thing. And so that would allow you guys, if you have the surplus, to begin socking something away systematically. How much were you hoping to be able to put away each year?
Well, we're going to, this year, well, right here at the end of the year, maybe a couple thousand, stick that in there and get it going.
Okay. Yeah, if you're just going to do a couple of thousand, I mean, the other option is you could do a couple of Roth IRAs. So you could each set up a Roth. You know, you're over age 50, and so you would be able to put in $7,500 for this year because you're over 50. She could put in $6,500. So between the two of you, you know, you all could put in, you know, a good bit of money this year, $14,000. And it's just really simple to set up. You could, you know, make that contribution all the way up until you file your 2023 taxes. So as late as next April, you could still contribute for 2023. And then you get that money invested and then just continue contributing to it, whether it's once a year or every month, dollar cost averaging. You could, you know, connect with our friends at soundmindinvesting.org. They could help you with some mutual fund suggestions, some good high quality mutual funds, or maybe you could go straight to one of the faith-based investing fund families like Timothy or Eventide, set up accounts there. I think the bottom line is let's get that money into a Roth, which is basically after-tax dollars. It will be growing tax-free, and then you could name her as the beneficiary on yours. You know, obviously, she would have access to her own, and then that way, whatever you all are able to sock away over the next 20 years plus, then she'd be able to have access to that in retirement.
All right. My Social Security, I believe I just heard you tell somebody that somebody would get half of it. Is that how that would work?
Yeah, so she can either claim, you know, once you're receiving Social Security and she's at least 62, she can begin taking a spousal benefit at full at her full retirement age. She could get up to 50% of yours. If she takes it before full retirement age, it would be some percentage lower than that. But yes, she could have access to spousal benefit, or if she qualifies for her own benefit and she's got those, you know, 40 quarters that she's paid in, then she could potentially get her own Social Security benefit. She would just want to see which one is higher, half of yours or her own. She could take the higher of the two.
All right. That sounds very good. Very good. I really appreciate your information.
And absolutely.
I appreciate what you do.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate you. We appreciate your call today. God bless you, sir. Before we head back to the phones, let me take just a moment and welcome Chad Clark to the broadcast. Chad is executive director here at FaithFi. And Chad, we've been sharing with folks this week that a special opportunity is on the table from one of our generous donors, and that ends today. So fill us in.
Yeah, absolutely. This is an exciting time of year for us here at FaithFi and Faith in Finance. We've got a $50,000 matching opportunity that ends today, December 15th. We are only $14,000 away from obtaining that full match. So if you're looking for opportunities to support the ministry, today is the day to take advantage of that. But if you're not able to take advantage of that today, I do want to encourage you to just prayerfully considering supporting the ministry. We do have a goal of raising $250,000 by the end of the year. So any gift made before December 31st would be just a huge blessing, and we'd be just so grateful if you would consider supporting the ministry. But today is a great opportunity to get your gifts in and get that double.
Everybody loves to have their gifts doubled when they're given, especially when you're given to God's kingdom, to know that whatever you give, that $50 is $100, that $500 is $1,000. For those who can do a $1,000 gift, that's $2,000. And it would go a long way to helping us be prepared and ready to continue our ministry in 2024, equipping wise and faithful stewards. And it's just fun to hear from listeners because we know that these principles work. And we see that life change every day.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a testimony in here from Wade in Alabama. He said, I listen to the Faith in Finance when commuting home from work each day, and I've learned a ton as a result. But I guess even more than the education, I appreciate the heart behind what y'all do. As an example, there was a caller that was on the program that had just lost her husband to cancer. And she really didn't know how to move forward with her finances. Rob was so kind towards her, as he has been to so many listeners, by showing compassion and personally volunteering to help her set up, get set up with someone who could help. And so, you know, that's just the heart. And Rob, I'm just grateful for you and just every day showing up here and just sharing the love of Christ. That's what it's about. Ultimately, you know, money is temporal. We're going to get through it, even if things are tough. But to put our hope in Jesus is really what it's all about. And that's why we are called Faith and Finance. The faith comes before the finances. We want to help with the practical financial elements, but we never want to miss out on the faith opportunity. And Rob, just grateful for your heart and the work you do every single day here on this program.
Well, thanks, Chad. That means a lot. You know, I love what I do, and I love the fact that these listeners that we get to interact with every day invite us into their stories, because we realize God is writing a story in your life, and we also recognize that you have the ability to connect into God's grand story. And so we want to help you understand God is your true abundance and that money is actually a tool that can be used as you connect into God's story, whether that's blessing somebody on your path, giving to a ministry like FaithFi or American Family Association, or providing for your family or just even enjoying what God has given you. And so we just try to reinforce those ideas, but also provide that practical counsel. So one more time, Chad, this is the last day of this dollar for dollar match. So how does it work?
Yeah, so every dollar that comes in by the end of day today, December 15th, will be doubled. You can take advantage of this opportunity by going to faithfi.com and click give, and you'll see our progress there. And if you would like to mail a check, as long as it's postmarked by today, or at least the date on the check is today, our matching donor will honor that. And so you can find our mailing address at the bottom of that page. So again, faithfi.com and click on give.
It's a huge day, and we're so grateful for so many of you that have already supported our work. But if you haven't, a gift of any amount would go a long way to helping us reach our goal as we head toward not only subscribing this match today, but our ultimate year-end goal of $250,000 of listener support here on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Thanks in advance. Head to faithfi.com and just click give. Back with your questions. Vicki, coming your way after the break. Stick around.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of our Savior. But often the busyness of the holiday season distracts us from its true meaning. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress helps us refocus our attention on the entrance of our Savior, Jesus Christ, into this world. Join us for the series, The Incomparable Christ, this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Coming up in just a moment, Jerry Boyer stops by. He'll fill us in on the strength of this market. We're about to end the seventh positive week. We hit a new all-time high on the Dow Jones this week. Obviously, the market liked a lot about what the Fed chairman had to say this week. We'll get Jerry's take on that just around the corner. We're also going to take your questions here in this segment, 800-525-7000. Before we talk to Jerry, Vicki, you've been holding patiently there in Virginia. How can I help you?
Yes, sir. Thank you for your program. My parents have done their will, and they're leaving me their house, my family their house. We have two special needs boys. One has a guardianship. The other will have a power of attorney. And we have a very low mortgage left on our house. And to avoid capital gains, because I would sell my house after I moved into their house, my father suggests that he buy my house for what we owe, give us the cash, put the house in his name, and put my house on his will to be left to us also. Is that a possibility, or is that kind of skeezy? You know, I don't want to do something the Lord wouldn't want me to do,
yeah.
But I don't even know if it's a possibility.
Okay. Well, no, I appreciate that, and obviously your heart's desire is to honor the Lord with this, and that's phenomenal. I want to make sure that I was a little unclear just on all the moving pieces. So walk back through. I understand you have a special needs son. You've got that covered in terms of guardianship, but what is it your dad is trying to accomplish?
Okay. When he leaves us his house, we will move into that house.
Okay.
Our house would have to go on the market.
Yes.
What he's trying to do is help us avoid capital gains taxes on our own house.
I see.
Because we won't be buying another house with what we get out of it.
Yeah. But so married, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And what do you expect to have in the way of gains on your primary residence?
Well, we owe $15,000 on it, and we could possibly sell it on this market for $250,000.
All right. It really doesn't matter what you owe on it. The key is what is your cost basis, which is what you paid for it.
We paid $82,000 for it.
Okay. So you're in good shape, and here's why. Is with your primary residence, as long as you've lived there 2 out of the last 5 years, when you go to sell your home, regardless of the reason, then you have up to $500,000 in gains that are excluded from capital gains tax. So you could have up to a $500,000 profit on your primary residence, not a rental property or an investment property, but your primary residence where you've lived there 2 out of the last 5 years, you'd be able to sell your home and not pay any capital gains until you get above $500,000 in gains. So that tells me you're not going to have any gain on your property anyway, so you can just continue to own it. If he passes away, you sell it. You don't pay any capital gains because you would have lived there 2 out of the last 5 years at that point. And then you'd inherit his home, which there's no, you know, at that point, you're going to get the stepped up basis to his date of death. There is no inheritance tax, so you're not going to pay any taxes on it. And his estate won't pay any tax on it unless his estate is worth more than $12 million at this point. So it doesn't sound like there's any taxes due on any of this. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Now, if I decide to keep this home and rent it, then I would have capital gains tax after I sold it after 2 years, correct?
Yes. If you weren't able to meet the test of 2 out of the last 5 years, then all of a sudden you're not eligible for that $500,000 in capital gains exclusion, and you would pay capital gains on it going back to your original purchase price. But currently the capital gains rate only kick in above $89,000 in adjusted gross income if you're married filing jointly. Do you guys make over $89,000?
No, sir.
Okay, so the capital gains rate is zero. Now, we're in a low capital gains rate environment. Could they go higher? Absolutely. A lot of that's going to depend on Congress and who our next president is and a whole host of things. If they're going anywhere, they're going higher. But today, married filing jointly, unless you have adjusted gross income of more than $89,000, your capital gains rate is zero, even if you sell a rental property.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you. God bless you.
You're welcome, Vicki. Hey, this doesn't, I mean, our couple of minutes here never replaces you doing some meaningful financial planning with an advisor. And so let me just encourage you to connect with a certified Kingdom advisor there in Virginia. Somebody can really look over your whole financial situation, advise you on how you're planning for the future, whether you're on track for retirement, you know, honoring your desires in the area of charitable giving, even making sure, you know, your estate planning is in order. You have an up-to-date will and just all the other legal documents. So if you want to connect with the CKA there in Virginia, just go to our website, faithfi.com. Vicki, thanks for your call. Merry Christmas. Well, let's before we take our next call, it's Friday. Jerry Boyer stops by with his market commentary and analysis. And Jerry, all-time high in the Dow Jones. I mean, if I would have told you at the beginning of 2023 that we'd hit an all-time high in December, would you have believed it?
Well, I probably would have said, I don't predict.
You probably would have.
You know, the liabilities are too high. But I would not have ruled it out, no. Because, as you know, I believe two things. One, that the largest driver of returns in our economy is the central bank. And two, that the central bank was likely to declare victory early, lose its nerve, and say, well, yeah, we're going to fight inflation, but not too much, because they think they have to fight inflation by slowing down the economy, but none of them want to be responsible for a recession. So the history of central banks, I think Paul Volcker is maybe the only exception I can think of. The history of central bankers is that they do not have the spine to see it through to the end to fight inflation. So my default expectation would have been that they'll make some gestures towards fighting inflation, and they went further than I would have expected, but not to the point of triggering an actual official recession. So why are markets up so much this week, really so much this year, but especially in the past couple of weeks? Well, last week we talked about the job market. You know, good news, no jobs. Workers don't have any power. We beat inflation. Then this week, inflation is down. They can't say it's low, right? Yeah. Inflation's 3%, 3.1%. It's 4% if you use core inflation, which is the thing that they say that they're targeting. So their target was 2% core inflation. All right. Yes. Well, we're double that. But I guess that's good enough. So what's happened is they've kind of redefined their goal in some sense. I mean, Think about this. You know, for so long they've been saying we really, really need to get inflation down to 2%, maybe 2.5%, just maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Now they're at 4% core inflation, and they're saying, we're probably going to cut next year. So they have thrown in the towel early when it comes to fighting inflation, which means the party keeps going on. I think it was the Fed Treasurer Eccles. I think I told you this story. He was at a cocktail party, maybe it was a Christmas party, and a woman who didn't know him said, well, what do you do, sir? And he pointed at the punch bowl, and he said, my job when the party gets going too much is to take the punch bowl away. Hmm. All right, so he's putting the punch bowl back. That's what Powell said this week. Or he's putting some more in the punch bowl. Maybe that's another way of putting it. He's spicing it up a little bit more.
Yeah.
And so markets go up in response to that because they believe the Fed's going to start pumping money back into the markets again. And what goes up the most is the more speculative stocks. So where have almost all the gains been, the Magnificent Seven or whatever they call it? It's almost all of the 20% gain this year would have only been a 10% gain if you leave out the seven growth stocks, which are all already high valuation. The more speculative stocks go up more when it's an easy money play rather than a real growth play. So this is all an easy money play.
Yeah, you know, some of this comes down to just which gauge of inflation we're looking at. Obviously, the Federal Reserve was talking on Wednesday about seeing its favorite gauge falling to, I think they said their expectation was 2.4% in 2024. Now, that sounds good, but we're not necessarily all talking about the same gauges, are we?
Right. There's a difference of gauges, but there's also the difference between things that have already happened and things that they're predicting will happen.
Yeah, right.
See, I don't think the Fed can say, we're predicting that inflation will be low next year, therefore we've won.
Right.
I mean, could you do that in sports? I predict that I'll have more points at the end of the game.
So let's just call it.
You will. So yeah, let's just call it now. Game's over because I predicted that I'm going to win. I mean, it's a pretty odd way. I mean, the inflation that we've observed, the inflation that's already happened, is not 2%. It's not 2.5%. So, you know, we could go by their predictions. The problem is, for a very long time, they predicted that we weren't going to get high inflation.
Yeah.
And then when we got high inflation, they predicted that it would be transient.
Yeah.
And it was
temporary.
High inflation came, transient, temporary, as I'm putting it in English, temporary, not long lasting. But what did we get? We got very high inflation and it lasted a long time. So I don't trust their predictor. I don't trust their models. They're not very good at predicting. They almost predict to kind of like make themselves look better. Yeah, so they're making the case that they can kind of surrender here, and that's what markets like. I don't believe it. I think prices are like they're going up a little less quickly now, but frankly, it's because the economy is slowing down. That's not beating inflation. When people are too afraid to buy houses, that's not beating inflation. That's just a bad economy.
Yeah, well said, Jerry. All right, my friend. Well, thanks for trying to help us make sense out of all of this, if that's even possible. Thanks for stopping by today, Jerry.
Always a pleasure. God bless.
All right. Have a great weekend. That was Jerry Boyer. He's our resident economist. He joins us each Friday. Folks, as we round out the program today, one final reminder, it's the last day of our Dollar for Dollar match. If you want to support our work here at Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, we'd certainly be grateful. Every gift doubled when you head to faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click give at the top of the page. See how we're doing and make your gift securely. On behalf of my team today, thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your day. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.